87, 88. During this time, I was going to a church. It was called Collingdale Gospel Chapel. It was sort of like the full gospel hour here. It was a church that didn't have a pastor, but it had elders and elders and deacons that were in charge. So I was brought up, and it was a Bible-oriented church, so I just went through, I would say went through the motions, but it was more like this, people getting together to worship the Lord, and there was a building that was on Hillside Avenue that was our church. It was a stone building. It was there since the time of my grandparents anyway, which would be from the 1800s. And that was our building. And I stayed there through about age 25. Now, I did go other places and visit other churches. There were other brethren churches that were within about 30 miles, and they were shared deacons and elders, so that was the way it was for me to grow up into this. So upon this, I ended up here, and here I am talking, and it seems to be that everybody has to have a day when they turn their life around, turn themselves into a follower of Jesus. And I thought to myself, boy, I didn't really have a chance to get out of the way myself. That word way is a little tricky, but I didn't have to turn myself out of the way to worship the Lord or to meet him. I met him with loving parents, guidance, just pretty much like it's here. And so I don't really have a day. I was never taught when I was little that that I have to pick a day, or the day that I get saved, or anything like that, that I have to have a spiritual birthday. So I thought about it, and I thought to myself, boy, I could try to make up some kind of day when the Lord turned my life around, but I didn't really have that happen to me. So I stand here kind of guilty of not having a spiritual birthday or a day, and I think I still ask the Lord to save me. Sometimes I get in some kind of trouble, and I think to myself, when you're in trouble is when you need the Lord and you need to get saved. And the way that I experienced it, I didn't have to get in that much trouble. And I did have to get saved. And I think I was brought up all along. Preachers, different brethren would come to our church. In the back, when he was over talking, he might say, "Are you saved, son?" or something like that, and I would probably say yes. I don't think it was because I was lying or anything, and I wasn't saved, but that was my most of my testimony there for how I got to be here now. I know that here. We like to have a spiritual birthday and have a turnaround when things changed in our lives, but mine didn't change, and I think I was kept away from bad things. I didn't spend a lot of time in bars during the disco time, which would be in the 80s. I was in my 20s, so I was in a disco before, and I did drink a little bit, but I had like a drink, and didn't do very well at all in any of my exploits to go out of the spiritual or the church realm. I didn't do very well. I sort of got the opposite of do you want to go to a retreat? And I wasn't really big on retreats either. It seemed like the world had a better way of doing it, but it didn't materialize to accept me. I think I was a different heart and mind, and the reasons for me being in the places where I went and the things that I did, most of them I did with myself. We did at church have a singles group, which would be like this, but younger, and I took part in that. We had things we did like water skiing and snow skiing and anything. We met on Friday night. We had people who played the guitar. I played the guitar for a while. I wasn't very, I didn't become a great guitar player, and I don't play now. But so that's a little bit about me. It's easier to ask questions or talk to somebody than to stand up. I tried to stand up and write this all down, but it's like a computer. The difference between a computer and a typewriter. A typewriter, you can type, and it goes down in order as you type it. But a computer is something you can add in between and add. And when you go to talk and you write things down, you keep, my conscience was bothering me, and I thought to myself, boy, what are we going to do for adding and subtracting in here? So then I just remembered one of the verses in the Bible says, when you're brought up on charges, to just stand up and talk. You don't have to worry about what you're going to do.
Got mushrooms there.
And so that's kind of what I did here. Anyhow. So I'm happy to be with all of you. And it feels kind of encouraging to do this. Yeah. Yesterday I was talking to Joey, and he said, Steve, wear a nice shirt. He's like the pastor who likes to promote himself. I fall into bit of laziness myself, laziness is about the worst spiritual sin you can get, because you don't wear the right shirt to church. But so I think I'll end it here. I'm getting kind of dry.
I'd like to introduce Calvin, our speaker. Calvin Huddleston, he's right here. He's got quite the testimony. I've been to church with him at First Baptist, and he attends the other church, New Life. He attends New Life, but he's got a really good testimony to give us. Thanks for all coming here. We appreciate your fellowship and everything you do. Without further ado, Calvin Huddleston.
Well, good morning, everybody. Like George said, my name is Calvin Huddleston. I was born in California in 1979. Parents' names are Philip and Deborah. That started the whole process of my life when I was born. My parents were together for a few years. I'd say probably about 2-3 years. And they had issues going on. They were constantly fighting, from what I was told. They ended up getting a divorce when I was 3. We had my sister. She was a year old. So from there, my dad took me, and I stayed in California. My mom took my sister and went back to Oklahoma. From there, my father married a woman named Linda. Linda was... I don't remember a whole lot. I'm still pretty young, but I know that she liked to dress me as a girl because she wanted another daughter, and that was real fun. I mean, there's still pictures somewhere floating around of me dressed up as a little girl with a big bonnet hat and everything on. But my father was married 4 times, and each of my mothers was a whole, I don't know, it was something new. Like Linda, she had her issues. She wanted another girl. She dressed me out as a little girl. didn't kind of really want me, I guess, in her life, because like my grandparents and stuff would show up. She'd lock me in the room. She wouldn't let me out. And she never really wanted much to do with me. That marriage only lasted a couple of years. Then we got married to a woman named Kim. Kim was one of those that was very, I guess, insecure about things. When she would, they would get in arguments, she'd take it out on me. It'd be, you know, oh, you're grounded because I'm mad at him. And she ended up starting to get better down the road. She went to therapy for it and started actually becoming a decent mother. And then my dad cheated on her and ended up with wife number four. This woman was in prison when he met her. He was a prison guard. Had an affair with her. She was an inmate. And got married to her while she was still in prison. When she got out, like when I first met her, everything was kind of cool. She seemed pretty nice, but she was still behind bars, you know. When she got out, it was completely different. It went from like nice Valerie to major physical abuse. I had sexual abuse from her. Just tear me down anytime, you know, she can get, you know, years and years and years of abuse. Like I would do homework at school and I would come home and she'd be like, give me your homework, let me see it. It's done, show it to her, she'd punch me in the face. She'd be like, homework's meant for home, not school. And I'm like, are you serious? It's like, it's done, what does it matter? But a lot of torture, a lot of different things that she used to do to me. Quite a bit, actually. My dad watched it, but when she got out, she started back in drugs. He kind of followed suit with her, wanted to know why she kept disappearing, and he got strung out. So then it just kind of became this thing where, even though he was witnessing everything, he wasn't doing anything about it. So I dealt with years of that. Not even just that. There's a lot of times throughout those marriages that my grandmother would take me into her home and I would stay with her and she'd watch me. During those times, I was getting in a lot of trouble, a lot of stealing. I had a cousin that we just, I mean, we were hitting everywhere. I got really good at it too. And stole all the time. We actually burnt down a field at one time. And the way the field was set up was, like, we jumped over the fence, it was just like an empty field. On the other side of the fence was a community. It was an elderly community, and it was all trailers and everything. Well, my cousin gets the idea, hey, let's make a ball of fire in my hand. Lights it, big chunk falls out, catches the place on fire, burns down half a trailer. Thank God nobody was in it. And so between the fires and thieving, and I got caught up in smoking weed at an early age, cigarettes. I was constantly stealing cigarettes from my uncle, smoking them in a creek behind our house. You know, just kind of grew up doing all the wrong things, you know. I grew up in church. My grandparents took me to church. When I would go visit my family in Oklahoma, my mom and stuff, my grandparents there took me to church. Believe in God. Knew that he was there, but still wanted to do my thing, you know. And then even with all the issues that I had with my stepmoms and everything, from there it led into more heavy drinking and stuff like that. That started probably when I first got married. Probably about a year after we got married, I started getting depressed and everything, and I just started drowning myself. It's like, I don't want to deal with this, I'm just going to drink and drink and drink and drink. Got back in the military, lost my military career because of drinking. Went over there and did a lot of drinking on my own, hiding it. I had a little storage room down in our basement of our building that we stayed at. And I'd go get my liquor after work, and I'd come home and I would hide the bottles in there, lock it back up. Well, my wife got wind one day and went and cut it open. I came back and I was like, all right, I'm going to go in there and drop it off like I normally do every day. And I walk in there and it's the locks busted off the wall. I'm like, oh, great. Like, she knows. And you don't realize how bad you're getting, like, sucked down with all that stuff. Because I walked in, and, like, a table a little bit bigger than this was just completely covered in bottles. Couldn't seem to get past it. But, praise God, now it's completely different. I mean, now I've dealt with depression, and instead of diving into alcohol and everything, I try to tend to trust more in the King. That's still a thing right now that I'm working on, is trusting more and just letting go, because it's taken me a long time to get to where I'm at. And it's been an up and down. You know, I've had issues even on my walk after I've given my life over to the Lord. Like, I've gone through depression, and I've gone right back to drowning myself. And then I'm like, no, I can't keep doing this. And then I get into it with, you know, family or anything, and then I'm back straight, and I'm good, and going to church. And the whole time, I'm not giving up. I'm just kind of keeping focused and going, this isn't going to be me always, you know. So I've come a long ways. I was never really a nice person to people, you know. I never really trusted people at all. Like, of course, from what I grew up in, to, like, want to talk to somebody on the street or just, hey, how are you today, you know, and want to know how they're doing. That wasn't me. I didn't really care, you know. I'm learning to now love people more and just, you know, they're going through the same issues that I went through, you know. It's rough out there. I mean, I know there's a lot of people hurting. Probably about a week, no, what, a week ago? Probably a couple weeks ago, I told Jim about this. Walking down the street, saw some homeless people. And something in my head said, try it out for 24 hours. 24 hours. Put yourself in their shoes. I said, okay. All right, I'll, you know, I'm just thinking, is this in my head? Whatever, and, you know, okay, we'll see how it is. So all day it just kept nagging me. I had stuff to do while I was all around this side of town. So I went back home and I packed up a bunch of stuff. Food, sandwiches, stuff like that, clothes, and I was like, I'm gonna try it. Took off. I didn't make it throughout the night. I made it to probably about midnight before I went back home. I picked the wrong spot. I went to the Van Duzy Bridge, climbed up underneath there, and it was just like a wind tunnel. And I was like, this isn't gonna work. We had a tarp. My brother brought a tarp down and tried putting that over it, and I was like, no, this ain't gonna work. So ended up going back. Back home, but I would still really like to try it. I met a couple people, and I gave them some food, and, you know, I carried the Gospels of John with me, and I passed out a couple of those and talked with them and prayed for them. But life has been almost to me like a kick in the sack, you know. It has, you know, I can say other words, but that's just a polite way of saying it, but it has. And as I've gotten older, and as time has gone on, things are getting better, you know. The more I trust in Him, the more I let go, the more I try to forgive and just say, you know what, it's not about me, it's about the others that are out here. You know, we have so many people out here struggling with addictions and, you know, bad homes and breakups. And, you know, my wife told me one day, she said, with everything that's going on in your life, you know, most people are serial killers. What's going on with you? And I'm like, that's by the grace of God. I'm not. You know, I got all of it. But it's been a long struggle, but it's been good because I learned something new from it every time. You know, I'm like, I don't have to sit there and keep doing this. Like this morning, listening to the worship, and I was like, you know, I don't have to be perfect. I got struggles still, and I'm still working.
True.
And I'm cutting way down on all my stuff. I still. I'm supposed to be on all kinds of meds. Like, actually, I just went to the doctor the other day, and they were like, oh, you want to go back to behavioral health, and, you know, you got bipolar, and PTSD, and anxiety, and depression, and all that. You want to go back and get on pills? And I'm like, no. I was like, I started using cannabis because of that. know, because I was able to still function and work. But I don't even want to be on cannabis all the time either. I cut way down to where I barely smoke, but I'm still doing it. And that's the thing. I talked to a lady at my church, and I was like, I don't want to be still smoking when the king comes back. But it takes time. I want the time now, but it takes time. Little bit, little bit. Jim's always said, preset, life for deception. Little by little. So I'm taking it as that. Just trust it more. Try not to let the ways of this world drag me down too much. You know, I'm more trying to chase, you know, the king, and then my household still not completely. Of course, my family and everything, they go to church, they believe, they, you know, getting their lives over, but they still were doing like I was doing. You know, my oldest son still curses up a storm. Every time he says a cuss word, I'm like, please stop, please. Like, I know, I get it, but, you know. Actually, I need 1 second, sorry. I keep wanting to come out of here.
Good breakfast for that.
So, it's a little hard because I should have taken them more as a kid when they were kids. It's harder now because they're teenagers and trying to explain, you know, the differences of right and wrong and the different sins in this world that, you know, the world just says is okay. And when we try to explain that to them, they get upset, and my wife gets upset. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm supposed to be trying to teach them the correct ways, and when I do, you guys are mad at me about it. So it's just, it's a battle. But I know they love Jesus. My wife listens to worship music all the time, and you know, she's always worshiping, and you know, she prays, and I know she cares and loves him, but it's just kind of, I think we're at different levels. So, just trying, like I said, every day, just getting up, trying to dive into my word a little bit more and more every day, you know, trying to do some devotions. I'm not going to lie, I don't read it every day. I don't. And I should. I know I should. I get caught up just like, you know, what you guys were saying earlier. You get caught up with stuff in the world, and the next thing you know, I'm like, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I'm getting ready to lay down. I'm like, I didn't read any of my word. Did I do that? So I try to make it a habit at least every morning, because I got the Bible app, to get up and read, you know, the verse of the day, and try to do, I got a little devotion book, and try to at least read that while I have some coffee or something, and then try to focus on what it was saying throughout the day and incorporate that in my life. So God is good. He's brought me a long way. I mean, it's been, like I said, an uphill and downhill battle, up and down. But it's gotten better. And I know he's still working in my life, and I just keep leaving it in his hands. You know, Pastor Jeff's like, oh, we don't watch the news, and we don't watch that. Like, that's been an issue of mine. Like, I start watching, like, oh, man, Russia's going to do this, and this is going to happen here, and this is, oh, look at all these abortions, and da-da-da-da, and then it's just one more way the devil's going to use to sit there and just get you to worry and drag you down. You know, and depression starts settling in, and a lot of people are killing themselves over what's going on right now. And it's just, it's sad. It's sad. Like, every day, when I was reading the news, I've stopped now for a couple weeks, but every day it was like, oh, this person killed themselves, or there's another shooting here, or this or that. It's just like, golly, is it ever going to stop? And I don't think so. It's only going to get worse, like they were saying. Because we know the king's coming back anytime. Anytime. I mean, that's what I try to explain to my kids as well. I'm like, if you don't take anything from me, take one thing. Trust God. That's it.
Amen.
Give it to him. Leave it in his hands. He's more than capable of anything that you're going through. So.
Amen.
Well, that's most of it. If anybody has any questions, I can always answer more. But yeah, that's it. Okay.